Lord Jesus Christ, we give you thanks, we give you praise that you have risen from the dead, that you are Lord of all things, heaven and earth, life and death, and that you are risen to give us forgiveness and life as well. We thank you for the gifts that you give us in baptism, especially the baptisms that we got to witness this morning. We thank you for the miracle of eternal life that you've given to each of them. We ask that you would continue to keep all of your baptized people steady and firm in that baptismal life, that it would blossom into resurrection life. Lord, as we continue to study your word in Revelation, we ask that you would bless us by sending your spirit into us, that in our discussion and in our contemplation, we might continue to grow in faith. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, cool. Any debrief from the service or the sermon? Baptism was pretty cool. Hey, and it still took. All right. So that was good. And I was coming to folks like that's kind of like how we come in baptism is kicking and screaming, you know. Maybe we do it a little bit more quietly, but it's still the same thing, right? And so, it still takes. It reminds me of a Star Wars movie, Rogue One. If you've ever seen that, there's a scene where I saw the ladies upstairs. There's a scene where there's this woman is a prisoner on a transport ship, and the rebels come and they knock out the guards. They stop the transport and they free the woman, and she tries to make a break for it, and then a droid comes along and knocks her out and looks over at her and says, "Congratulations, you are being rescued." and I was like, that's a good picture of like.
Yeah.
Like our faith, like knock us out and we're being rescued. Yeah.
The few services have been ones to remember.
Yeah, they have.
The tornado warning.
Yep.
And broken pew.
Broken pew. And then, right. Yep. And then next week we have at this point, six people who are officially welcoming to membership on Sunday, a week from today. So, I think we're just going to have some abnormal services for a little while here. It's great. Because then on Sunday after that, we got another baptism. And there's something happening after that. And then Confirmation Sunday. And then I think a couple weeks later, we have President Bush coming to preach. So, yeah. President Bush of the Northern Illinois District. So.
Are you gone that
No, I'm here, actually. Yeah. So he just wanted to come and preach.
I seen that. I'm excited.
Yeah, yep.
You're a good preacher.
He's also good.
Oh.
Yeah, he's good.
I remember
he's
the first
good.
Time I heard him, I said to Pastor Mank, I'm like, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
He goes, well,
yeah.
Why do you think he's the
Jan and then Wayne. Yeah.
Before confirmation Sunday, could we possibly get a list of the names of the kids that are getting confirmed?
Oh, yeah, maybe I'll put them in the announcements or something. Yeah, that'd be good. So then.
Mine goes back to the service. You were talking about the kids' scars. And with Thomas, you know, being asked to put his hands. I had thought about this Wednesday night when we were talking.
Yeah.
That when we go with up to our Lord and Savior, that we were going to be perfect.
Yeah.
And Jesus did that.
And yep.
Yet he still had the scars in his hands and his feet and his side.
Right.
So are we going to still have scars when we're in heaven?
Yeah.
Are we, you know, I looked it up real quick, you know, be perfect, therefore, as your Heavenly Father is perfect. I think it's perfect maybe in faith and in the Lord.
Yeah.
Not as in our body.
Well,
but
well, and then.
It says, like, we're not going to hurt. Or,
right.
Like,
but scars aren't.
But it also says when they ask, are we going to be like this? And it says, no, a plant, when a seed is sown, it comes out different than what that seed
right.
was. So.
And then Susie had a related question as well.
Yeah.
So maybe we'll just talk about it all.
I was thinking about how, you know, he stuck his hand in his side. And, like, these were open wounds. And I'm thinking, when we get to heaven, is Jesus going to have a scar? Or is he still going to have open wounds?
Yeah, yeah.
Because if it's his body, you would think that it would heal.
Right.
It'd be a scar.
Right.
But.
Well, I think to answer yours and then Wayne's. So I when I envision it, I guess it's not explicit in scripture, but like when I envision it, they're like healed over wounds that Jesus has, you know, so that like it's not like bloody, it's not like, you know, grotesque, you know, but
like
but you
we're
can
not
see through
stick our finger in it.
Well, I think you could actually
maybe
yeah I think Okay, and here's what I'm thinking is that this is Jesus's resurrected body from the dead. So this is as he will be for eternity. And notice that he's still a human being for eternity, and he's going to still have those scars for eternity. So I think that you, like Thomas, when you get up there, you would be able to put your fingers in the holes and see the in his side, and I think that he retains those, and we can still say he has a perfect body because like those scars are good scars. You know, they are perfection. Like it is those wounds that heal, you know? And by the way, also we've seen this in Revelation already, because the descriptions of Jesus, especially when, it describes Jesus as the Lamb, it always says he's the Lamb who was slain. So he looks like a Lamb who is slain. Right. And so, when we see Jesus, it'll look like you'll be able to recognize him as the one that was crucified, right? But is risen again. So like the scars, and I think this is what I was trying to get at with the kids, maybe kind of an abstract concept, but like the scars simultaneously tell you that he was crucified and died, and because you're able to touch the scars, that he rose from the dead, right? Mm-hmm. And so like the whole story of Jesus is in the scars. So I think that he'll still have those scars, which also tells me, by the way, that I think that we will have memory of the world, like history, because we'll know why he has those scars, right? That he had to die for our sin. And when you read Revelation, all those in heaven are constantly praising him because of what he's done in history. So there is memory. And it's that memory that gives reason to praise God, because it is his glory. Like that's what God glories in the most. So then I guess to get to Wayne's question, I think that while it's true that Jesus is in his resurrected body eternally and he'll have the scars eternally, I think that for the rest of us, our bodies will be made perfect and new. So we won't necessarily have those scars. Because scripture does also talk about like every tear being wiped away, all of our diseases and pains and all that kind of stuff gone. And this is also why Jesus does miracles, because he's bringing the Costco samples of what is to come into the world right now, to show what kind of savior he intends to be. So he's the one that fixes and restores creation and makes our bodies right. So while Jesus will have scars, all of us are going to have like six packs and look like drop dead gorgeous, right? You know,
that's another question I have. Like, is our bodies going to work biologically? Like,
yeah. Well,
are we going to sweat? And
yeah, I think
and have to go to the bathroom. And
yeah.
I'm just curious.
I think so, because, and this is what I try to get at on the Easter sermon was, we should see eternal life more as a continuation of this life and less like a different kind of life. There will be things that are different, but the differences will be more of what no longer takes place.
Yeah, because now I gave the example of eating. Like, sometimes food makes us sick.
Yeah.
Well, that won't happen.
It won't happen there.
Sometimes. No more. And
there will be
sometimes
food.
When we have to eliminate, sometimes when the food is being digested and all that, it doesn't go very well.
Right, right. Well, it's always going to go well.
But we'll be in the garden eating perfect.
Yeah. Yep.
That's what I was going to say. This is what our lives were. It's going to be what our lives were intended.
Right. Intended to be all along.
Garden of Eden.
Yep.
Before sin.
Yep. Garden of Eden is the closest thing that we can have to what it's going to be like.
The new Jerusalem.
Right, exactly. So, and also in Corinthians, I'm trying to remember where at this point, but Paul actually exhorts the church not to participate in adultery, and he says like your bodies And I think he even gets so explicit as to say, like your sexual organs have been joined to Christ. And Christ is eternal. So like, would you take what belongs to Christ and join it with a prostitute? No way, Jose. Right? And that's in the Greek, by the way, Jose. And he says, so therefore don't do it. Right? And so I think what Paul, something that also teaches us is that we'll also rise from the dead, male and female, right? So even down to our sexual organs, we're gonna continue in the body, right? Yeah. Well, actually, I think Susan had something too. Okay. All right.
Just back to the memories part.
Yeah.
So if we're gonna have memories, we must only remember the good stuff because we don't want to be sad in heaven. So.
No, I think we'll actually remember the painful stuff, but it won't be painful. And
we'll remember it, but it won't hurt.
Right. And I think that what Jesus will do with the crud that makes it painful will be so glorious that it'll turn it into a good memory. Does that kind of make sense? So like we'll remember our sins, but we also won't remember our sins. We remember that we sinned and that we... I guess you could say like we remember our sins, but we more so will see the scars and the wounds that forgave those sins, and we'll say, "Wow, look at how glorious Jesus is!"
Yeah.
You know, and that's how the thought process will go. And even like you lose a child, and like that's painful. It's probably one of the most painful things you could experience. And then you see that child in the resurrection with you, and like, "Wow, like that was so painful, but look at what Jesus did with it." He rose that child from the dead, right?
What if you don't see your child?
Yeah, you know, and I still think that'll be something along those same lines, where what Jesus does with everything will be so glorious that you'll say it'll still wow you.
Yeah.
So I guess I don't like have the answer for that.
Yeah.
Because I also think about like Christians who convert as adults, but like their family that they love maybe died before they became Christian. You know, and like, what about that? I'll leave that up to Jesus. But I think it'll be what Jesus will do with all the pain will be so glorious and good that our bad memories will be turned good. You know?
Well, and also we'll be able to see what God did with our sin, how he worked through, you know, in all things, God works good for those who
right.
are called according to his purpose. So we'll be able to actually see like behind the scene. Like,
yeah,
I heard once like a tapestry, you know, a beautiful tapestry when you look at it one way, but then when you turn it around, it's kind of a mess.
Right.
But yeah, but that's God. He knows exactly where every string needs to go and what he's putting it in a special place so that when you turn it around,
right.
We're in heaven, we can see that beautiful picture.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. I think, yeah, Susan.
We're going to wait for you here, but yeah, talk about the whole theology that says that somehow.
Yeah.
That God's history is more profound because. And,
yep.
So I think reading a great story or going to a good play, you don't want to tell everything's so cute and lovely and pleasant all the time. And that's all you know. It's kind of a simple story.
Right.
I think maybe in heaven we're just going to appreciate God's amazing story.
Yeah.
What he did throughout history.
Right. I mean, and again, like all, we see this again and again in Revelation, just saying what you're saying, like they sing his praise because of what he's done and accomplished. Not because he makes it go away, but because of what he does with it. You know, that's the reason why we have cause to praise him. You know, so, and yeah, like the whole, like, blessed fall. Like, some in the ancient church would refer to it as the blessed fall. And on the one hand, like, you don't want to go so far as to say, like, sin is a good thing, and we're glad that it happened. But it's more so the result that we will actually have something that Adam and Eve did not, which is that Jesus is one of us, right? That God made himself one of us and that humanity is represented in the Godhead. So we actually have more that we've gained in Christ than the fall took away, you know? And I guess the way I think of it this way is like, Like, Jesus was plan A all along. And God's plan was never to end it on, end creation on the sixth day and then rest on the seventh and then that be the way things always were. No, his grand master plan was that his creation was not finished until he was part of it. Right? That's really what makes Christmas like that much more amazing. Like it's the coming to fruition of what God intends his creation to be, which is that he gets to be one of us, right? And that he redeemed us. Like he both created us and paid for us. You know, so it's just kind of cool to think about when you think of the grand story of things. Yeah.
Okay. I was asked this by a person several years ago who was talking about heaven.
Yep.
And she's been married like, I forget whether she said 3 or 4 times. One died, another divorced, that kind of stuff. And she asked me if when we go to heaven, will we be with our husband? And she said she finds that a little frightening because she had, you know, like 3 or 4 husbands. Which one is she going to
pick? It reminds me of a Bible story.
Scary.
Yeah.
Or can you pick your favorite one?
Oh, there you go. That'd make a good TV show. Yeah. well, I mean, that's also basically a Bible story. It's the Sadducees that came to Jesus and they came up with this crazy scenario where the woman was married and the husband died and the brother of the husband took her as a wife and then he died and then the next brother took her and then I think it was like 6 or 7 brothers after and then the Sadducees were like, all right, so Jesus in the resurrection, whose wife is she going to be? And the Sadducees' point in asking that was to try to make the resurrection sound ridiculous because the Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection, right? So they were trying to prove it wrong by this crazy scenario, which isn't so crazy. I guess it does happen, right? And Jesus first scolded them and said, well, you guys don't even believe the resurrection, so you're off base anyway. But then he also says after that, in the resurrection, people will neither marry nor be given in marriage. And that can mean one of maybe two things. And I think I've talked about this a little bit before, but it could mean that there just is not marriage between human beings. And we'll go on not being married anymore. However, I do say that marriage does continue in the resurrection, at least in the sense that Christ and his bride are together, right? Mm-hmm. And like that is the ultimate marriage. So God created marriage between human beings to give a picture of the ultimate marriage. So the ultimate marriage will still hold true. Now I have a theory, and I usually say like I take my pastor hat off for this, and this is just the theory of Jonathan Petzold. All right, that marriage might continue in the resurrection because it was a pre-fall institution. So the way that God wanted the world to be, right, was with marriage and having children, right? And that was instituted before sin. So creation as it should be was with marriage and kids. And Jesus comes not to not to get rid of the world, his creation, but actually to restore it to what it should be. So I have a theory that marriage could continue in the resurrection, especially since we're going to have our same bodies that we have now, just fulfilled and restored. And our bodies, we're designed for marriage, right? Not to get too biological. And does that mean that it's possible we could have kids? I guess so.
That's what I was going to ask. Reproduction?
Yeah, because having children was instituted before the fall.
Yeah. Won't be painful.
It'll tickle. Yeah, yeah. If you've had like, 17. Yeah, exactly. Now, like if you've had multiple spouses, scripture does allow for that. So, if a spouse dies, you are allowed to get remarried. I'd say even in some cases, if you're divorced, God permits remarriage. That's a whole different topic. But I guess my answer to that is like, Jesus will figure it out.
Yeah.
if that's what it's going to be, Jesus will figure it out. Now that,
you know, I wouldn't want to have three or four husbands.
Well, and I don't think you will. But if marriage does continue in the resurrection between people, like Jesus is going to untangle a whole lot of messes in the world, and he'll be really good at it, you know. And whatever we will have will be beautiful and good and not any source of pain at all. That being said, if it is just marriage between Christ and the church and not human marriage, I would still argue that we will be closer to each other there than you ever could be in a marriage here. You know, so whatever kind of, marriage is ideally when it's best form on earth is just a small Costco sample of the connectedness we will have between each other as brothers and sisters in Christ there, you know? And I think I would still argue that if that were the case, you would still know that, like, that was your husband or that was your wife or that was your son or daughter, right? And in that sense, we'll kind of retain those relationships because Jesus really loves families, right? Like, he came and spent 30 years with the family before he did any of the Savior stuff, right? Like, he loves families, you know? So, yeah.
Okay. When we go to heaven,
yep,
our bodies stay in the ground.
Yep.
Are cremated.
Right.
So we're in spirit with God?
Yes. Until, and I always say that heaven is a round trip. So you do die, you go to heaven in your spirit, your body's in the ground. But Jesus promises that one day he'll come back to earth at the resurrection.
Okay.
And we'll live in a heaven and earth that has been made one, and our bodies will rise from the dead, brand new, just like his rose from the dead, and we'll live in heaven on earth as creation should have been all along, forever.
Even if people are cremated?
Even if they're cremated, eaten by an alligator.
Come back as their self.
Yep. 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 Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't matter. You know. Yep. You can spread those ashes and you know. I mean, God made Adam from the dust, right? So if he can make Adam from dust, it doesn't matter what form your body ends its life in, you know.
But
yeah.
Until the resurrection, when we go to heaven,
yep,
we'll be in spirit.
We'll be in spirit, and it'll be the best thing you've ever experienced.
So nobody will know whose husband is who and whoever. They're
going to
actually see.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean,
we'll be spiritually connected.
Well, we spiritually, and I think that you will still retain your individuality. Like, you're still going to be you, because Jesus came to save you, right? So we don't know what it's going to be like to just be a spirit, but we know that you will be able to experience God's presence. It'll be the best thing you've ever experienced so far. In fact, you're going to say, boy, I'd really love to be able to have a body to be able to experience this with, right? You know, and you will. But no, I think we're going to know who each other are as spirits. We're going to be in God's presence. Yeah, there's no reason not to look forward to heaven. It's just not the final thing we look forward to. Yeah.
When I was a child, a pretty young child, my mom was telling me about heaven. And she was saying how, I'm like, well, am I going to still be your daughter? And she goes, yes, I will still know you as my daughter, but we're going to love, I'm going to love all children the same.
Right.
Oh, I did not like that at all. I did not want to go to heaven. I did not want my mom to love that little girl as much as she loved me.
Yeah.
I wanted it to still be the special one.
Right,
you know?
Right.
But I've grown since then.
Good. Well, yeah. You know, and I guess that's why I'd say that's like a both and, you know, yeah, she's going to love all of God's people, probably more than she even loved you
on earth. Yeah.
But like I said, like God, like families were God's idea. Right. So, I think that in some way, shape or form, that's still going to be retained and honored in the resurrection, you know? Yeah.
There's a relationship with Jesus. It's not just like a generic one.
No, right. Yeah, personally, like it's gonna be like all of it's gonna be like amped way up, you know, like more than we can even conceive here. But like, I think it's in C.S. Lewis's book, The Great Divorce, which is like this fictional like sort of like there's a tour bus from hell and they get to go to heaven, and it's a really it's kind of a fun story. But the spirits who are in hell are experiencing heaven. And like everything's is more real than they remember it on earth. Like the grass is more physical, and for the people in hell, like the grass is sharp and it like hurts to like walk on the grass because it's more real than the grass that they had on earth, right? But for the people who are in heaven, the grass is even softer and more lush, you know? So and while I don't know if that's literally how it's going to be, I think what C.S. Lewis is trying to get at is like the life we know now is like a stained, lesser version of what it should be. And what we look forward to is the real thing. Not that this isn't real. It is good. It's God's creation. But like what we look forward to is like as it should be and like amped way up, you know? So like you think you love your family now, like you just wait. And not only that, but like they're going to be the best version of themselves. You're going to be the best version of yourself. You're going to be closer to them than you ever could be now, you know? Like it's just real life way, way more. Did I see a hand over here?
Earlier, when you were talking about how we go to heaven as a spirit, and then when he returns and we get our resurrected bodies, I was thinking, you know, time doesn't, it won't be experienced the same way we think of, right?
Right.
So the time we're in just spirit, we don't know what that's gonna look like, be like.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's possible that like it'll still be like counted according to Earth time. You know, like and we did have the scene where the spirits the souls of the people were underneath the altar of God in Revelation, and they were crying out for God to finish it, to work his vengeance. So they're still aware that they're waiting.
Okay.
Right.
So there's still, we will experience waiting time unless he comes back first.
Yeah. Yep.
And we will be aware of the waiting
time. Right. But it's not going to be painful. Like, I think that the souls under the altar are like, oh, if this is what the gospel is, Lord, do it. Get down there. Let's go. Right. So it's not going to be a painful waiting. It's going to be like a yearning, like excitement, eagerness. Yeah.
We're going to live forever, but we're still going to exist in time. We're not
going to be
outside of time.
Right.
So.
Yep.
And we're not going to know everything either, like God does. We're still going to be finite creatures.
Yeah. I think that's very well said. And like part of the beauty of God's design before the fall was that Adam and Eve were intended to be fruitful, multiply, and that people were supposed to go out and explore creation.
Intended.
Yeah, and tend to it, and like cultivate it, and like make out of it art and music and culture and all that kind of stuff. So like even like a society and cities, like we're gonna have all that there. But and what we have now is like a suboptimal form of what it's going to be. Like you think you saw a cool big city here? You just wait, right? I think that's well said. And like we're gonna experience time. And so we're going to get to a point in Revelation where it says like there'll be no more sun and no more night. And I do kind of wonder if that's more of a metaphorical idea because like, again, like before the fall, God created the sun and moon and stars, right? To mark time. And like Jesus promises us eternity. And the way that we're going to measure like Jesus fulfilling his promise is like, there was another day. We got a long ways to go to fulfill eternity, right? You know, like we're going to have the sense that like, wow, we're living every day of our lives forever, the way it should be.
It says that the sun will. It says the sun will shine forever, and the sun will be.
Yeah. Jesus. Right. Right. Yep.
And we never get older.
Yeah, I don't think we'll. I mean, we're gonna be around for a long, long, long time. So I guess our age will be a lot, but I think our bodies will be as they should be, and not themselves age. You know, so
prime of life.
Yeah, I'd say like prime of life, like what God intended the human body to be in. So that's why I say like six packs and like drop dead gorgeous, you know? Yeah.
How far back will the resurrection go from the day that God put man and woman on the earth? Will we meet Adam and Eve?
Yeah, we're going to meet.
Will we go up there?
Yeah.
Will we meet all those people throughout the centuries, you know, in different areas and will we meet all of those? There's going to be like millions and millions and millions.
It's going to be a lot. Yep.
Okay.
Yep. So we're going to see Adam and Eve.
So that's where it's going to start at, is
yep.
Adam and Eve?
Or yep.
Before that?
Well, there wasn't anything before that. So Adam and Eve, the first one. Yeah.
Well, it depends on what you believe in evolution.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that.
And before was, they say that the animals were like humans.
Yeah. I would say, yeah, I would say it's made up. I would say that scripture is pretty clear, like, It was 6 days, and then Adam and Eve were created on the sixth day. And so there is the animals that were created before them, like within those 6 days, but Adam and Eve were the first human beings. Yeah, and spiritual sense and everything. Yeah, you know, so like that they did not evolve from anything. That they were created as the first human beings. And all the animals before them were not going to evolve either, you know? So, yeah, just the earth was only around for 6 days before, not millions of years before, but, and this is probably way off track, but like that doesn't mean that the world was not created without age. So like, Adam and Eve were created as 25 year olds, but they'd only been around for one day. Right. And they might've seen mountains in the distance that scientists might say like, those mountains would have taken millions of years to form, but God could have created them yesterday, right? And Adam and Eve, on the first day that they were created, would have needed food to eat pretty immediately. And they would have had a fully aged tree that was bearing fruit that they could have plucked fruit from and did pluck fruit from, right?
It was the bad fruit that they picked.
Yeah, but they also had good fruit that they picked too.
Okay.
You know, and so like what I'm saying is like there could have been a tree that would have taken 50 years to grow and produce fruit, but that was made yesterday. You know, so we don't argue that the world started at zero and then had to age into what it was. God created it ready for life. You know? Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
I think the biggest thing that I took away from today's sermon, because I never really thought about it, was that God's power is in his word.
Yeah.
Not in our own thinking.
Yeah.
And so, like for the person who tells you that there is no heaven because we just flew to the moon and didn't see it, his word says that there is a heaven.
Yeah.
And so that should eliminate all doubt.
Right.
We may not know exactly where it is, where heaven is,
yeah,
as far as the location, but it's there.
Yeah, yeah, I think it's very well said. And yeah, to your point, like, I mean, I was just like thinking about this when I was preparing the sermon. It's like Jesus could have, the resurrected Jesus could have been walking down the street and people would not have recognized him and not have known anything any wiser. They would have seen the resurrected Jesus, but that doesn't mean that they would have believed in him. And so like they have to have the word in order to know the significance of even seeing the resurrected Jesus. And so like to your point, like the word is what has the power, which is why you don't need to see the resurrected Jesus with your own eyes in order to believe. Yeah, and, that's great.
The word says that heaven will be a million times better than it is.
Right.
Our own minds try to comprehend what that will be.
Yeah.
But in the end, we
won't know.
We believe in his word. We know that's going to be a million times better than it is going to be.
Right. Right. It'll be wonderful. Yeah.
That helps to eliminate doubt.
Yeah.
If you just keep going back to his word.
Yeah.
Try to figure it all out. It gives you more confidence.
Yeah, I love it. I think it's well said. And I also like the idea of the church being our evidence that Jesus rose from the dead. Like, Jesus didn't institute baptism until after he rose from the dead. So, like, that the church has practiced baptism for 2,000 years, like, is evidence that Jesus rose from the dead. Because if he didn't rise from the dead, we did not have baptism before that. Right? You know, like the last thing that Jesus gave to his disciples was communion. So, but he didn't give baptism until 40 days after he rose from the dead. So, I don't know, just like the church being evidence of the risen Jesus is just kind of cool. Yeah.
You know what I'm looking forward to doing when I get to heaven? Is singing to him. Not that I'm a good singer, but.
But you will be.
I will be.
Like rock star status.
For his grace and mercy.
Yeah.
I mean, if there's nothing else.
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
Yeah.
That I get to, for the eternity, say thank you.
Yeah. Oh, it's going to be great.
Yeah.
It's going to be great.
So what about the souls that go to hell? Are they going to have new bodies someday?
Yeah. Yeah, so in the Creed we do say that we believe in the resurrection of the living and the dead.
And the dead, yes.
And yet Scripture does explicitly say Jesus will come back and raise all the bodies, some to life everlasting and then some to damnation. That's the part I don't like to talk about as much, but like they do get their bodies back and will continue to experience hell, but not only in the spirit anymore, but now in their body. You know, so we should tell people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So after the resurrection, what is he going to do? After he pulls up all these bodies,
yeah,
tell her heaven or whatever. What's it gonna become?
Well, it'll be heaven on earth, so it'll be this earth, but perfect. Everything going right. So no bad.
Body, physical
body. Yep, physical bodies.
All these people.
Yep. Yeah, kind of.
No tornadoes.
Or if there are tornadoes, it'll be like the circus coming to town.
Yeah.
Like they won't be destructive. It'll be like, oh boy, let's go and like hop on the tornado. Woo! You know, like I mean. Well, I would say yes on the one hand. On the other hand, like the Lord who created all things in heaven and earth. And all the celestial bodies and all the planets, like if he wants to like click the corner and drag and make the earth bigger, he can. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You know, like, I mean, yeah.
And the animals?
I think the animals will be back. And so, yeah. And Scripture is not like clear on like whether animals themselves, like individual animals will be back, but it does depict the new heavens and new earth with animal life. So I think that we should expect to see animals there, you know?
Well, if we're going to eat, they're better than the animals.
Yeah, and I don't know if we're...
The problem is everybody's not bad.
Yeah, and there'll be no death, you know? So I...
Vegetarian.
At the same... Well, you know, and at the same time, so, like, on the one hand, like, it doesn't talk about, like, killing animals because there won't be any death. On the other hand... like I think it's Isaiah 25 that depicts like the resurrection be like on a mountain with God and enjoying a feast. And it talks about there being meats like and bone and all that kind of stuff. And so I don't know. It could go either way. Maybe I really want bacon, so maybe it'll be like bacon trees. You know, like
impossible burgers.
So. Yeah, you know, I mean, but there's gonna be like feasting there, you know, and it's gonna be good. And here's the wild thing is that the resurrected Jesus, who has begun resurrection life, so he is now living as he will live forever. And we talked about this on Wednesday. Did come and fish and eat fish on the shore with his disciples in a risen state. So. I'm not a big seafood guy, but maybe I will be in the resurrection. So, I mean, while we may not be killing and eating, beef, maybe fish. Now, I did hear that somebody said that the Hebrews did not really consider fish to be like, in the same category as animals. That they're they consider them more akin to like plant life. Now they don't have like the biological. or organization that we have today. But just really interesting to think about. So, I mean, I think we should expect like life to be as it should be, and feasts and families reunited, and our bodies as they should be, like this life as it should be, but forever. Like this life continuing, but without all the things that make life not what it should be. Death and suffering and pain and sin and strain and stress. Like those things are the things that are gone. The things that God created the world to be will be amped up and forever. Yeah.
Where are the angels?
Yeah.
The purpose for them, if everything's perfect down here, what is their purpose?
Yeah, well, they'll be there. And a common misconception among Christians is that we turn into angels, and that's not true. Actually, if we did, that would be a demotion, because angels are not made in the image of God. And so, if anything, like the angels will be like answering to us. But I think that angels, they are different from animal life, but we should consider any creature of God, whether it be human or animal or angel, to be good beautiful and valuable just because it's a creature of God. And so I guess I'd say that the angels will be doing the same thing that animals and we would be doing. They're just enjoying the life that God gave us and living that out. Like God created us just out of love for us, you know, to enjoy the good gifts that he gives. So I think angels and animals and humans will be doing the same thing, just enjoying the life that he gave. You know, and that itself is worship, you know? So like getting to explore the world and create culture and art and music and all that kind of stuff, like doing with God's world what he intended for it and enjoying it as that is itself worship. Yeah. All right, Revelation? No, I'm joking. You know, we were kind of talking about, you know, and it's funny, like we're recording this. And so in the descriptions each week, I'll put like what we discuss and then like what part of Revelation we discuss. I can't tell you how many times I put like we discussed the resurrection and then Revelation. And today we discuss the resurrection. So I'll just put it in there, discuss the resurrection again, you know, but anyway, but this is good stuff. Yeah.
Chapter 9. Can you send me in Revelation? Can you send me the link to the part where
that? Oh yeah. And by the way, in the email that's sent out every week, there is a link for the podcast there. But I can send it to you.
Okay. Because yeah. You know, there's a lot of discussion, but it might not be like
right.
Yeah,
I can do that. So yeah, if you ever want to catch up on stuff, you can do that as well. So why don't we go ahead and pray, and then we'll get to Revelation next week. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you, we praise you that you are risen from the dead, that you are living now, the very life that you have granted us already in baptism, that we have eternal resurrection life now, and that you are living now the resurrection life as it will be for us at your return. Lord, help us to see our lives in this world in that perspective, that no matter what happens in this world, no matter what we see or what we experience or what tragedies we suffer, that your life, your scars, your promises are true, and they will be true forever. Lord, give us hope and confidence in that, and send us out this week with that same word and hope and promise in spirit. That as we live and work and do what you've called us to do and serve the people around us, that you would have that word on our lips and in our hearts. So it's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.